from 6 p.m. on Sky Racing 2.
I'm Arthur Stevens. A reminder, residents in the southeastern states should have moved their clocks forward an hour this morning. Daylight savings now in operation in New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia and the ACT. Queensland, Western Australia and the Northern Territory remain on local standard time zones. Floods are continuing to cause havoc in parts of South Australia and New South Wales, with more spring rain expected over the next few days. South Australians in flood-affected areas have been warned to keep sandbags in place to protect their property. Possible thunderstorms are forecast for Western and Southern coasts, pastoral, Flinders, Riverland, Murraylands and upper southeast districts. Meanwhile, families in flood-hit regional New South Wales have been told to leave their homes this weekend. The SES has issued flood evacuation orders for Edward Street in West Wagga Wagga, as well as several streets in Condobolin. Both sets of orders instructed residents to leave by this morning and take enough spare clothing, medicines and personal hygiene supplies to last for a week. Meanwhile, Mike Baker from the New South Wales SES says his team are gratified to have received assistance from interstate crews to help get on top of the flooding.
Really good to see the support from our interstate colleagues from Western Australia and Victoria coming to lend a hand also getting the hand from Defence.
Power, meanwhile, has been restored in Perth after a major blackout hit the southwest of WA yesterday. Bunbury, Walpole and Denmark are the worst affected, with Western Power saying it has crews out working to restore services. An elderly driver has died after a week in hospital following a car crash on the New South Wales Central Coast. The 91-year-old woman died in hospital a week after her car collided with another car travelling in the opposite direction and then into a parked car in Terrigal. Two other passengers critically injured in a car accident near the New South Wales-Queensland border earlier last week have died in hospital. New South Wales police say five people were in a car on Mount Lindsay Road, Woodenbong, north of Lismore, when their Nissan ran off the road and crashed into an embankment last Tuesday night. The 20-year-old man driving and two of his passengers, a boy and a girl aged 16 and 17, were taken to Lismore Base Hospital. The driver was transferred to Gold Coast Hospital and is in a critical but stable condition. The remaining two passengers, a 17-year-old boy and a 22-year-old man, were flown to Gold Coast Hospital and Princess Alexandra Hospital in Brisbane in a critical condition, but both have now died. An air raid on a rebel-held neighbourhood of Aleppo in Syria has hit another hospital, according to a medical organisation that runs the hospital and a monitoring group. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more.
Doctors say cluster and barrel bombs and even a chlorine bomb rained down this morning on the largest medical facility in East Aleppo. They say two died and 10 were injured. Pictures show medical facilities destroyed. Just six hospitals are still operational in the rebel-held east of the city, where 250,000 people are under siege. The French Foreign Minister, Jean-Marc Ayrault, said the perpetrators would be held to account, adding that France was mobilising at the UN Security Council to stop the tragedy.
In other news briefly, a Bandawan cabbie who allegedly threatened to rape and kill government staff is now facing a string of grog and driving charges. And Western Australian mining companies say they want to exploit the red-hot demand for cobalt, with prices set to escalate in the next 4 years. This is Air News. Firstly, today sees a continuation of celebrations in Melbourne's West after the Western Bulldogs won their first AFL Premiership in 62 years. In case you missed it, the result was Bulldogs 13-11-89 to Sydney Swans 10-7-67. Fans have been invited to Witten Oval this morning to help the team keep the celebrations going. The grand final team will be presented on stage and there'll be interviews with players and coaches throughout the day. Bulldogs president Peter Gordon paid tribute to the club's supporters.
Most of all, our members and our supporters who stuck with us through decades of hardship and wondering whether the day would come when it wasn't the Collingwoods and the Carltons and the Hawthorns and the Geelongs, but us that got the opportunity to feature in the last week of September.
In the NRL, all roads lead to Homebush today for the grand final at ANZ Stadium. There'll be plenty of action throughout the day, with curtain raiser games commencing this afternoon before the big game this evening. Mark Prendergast, the Transport Coordinator General, told Macquarie Radio the best way to get to the stadium will be using public transport.
You're heading out to see the Sharks take on Melbourne. Arrive early and the best options to use public transport. It's included in your ticket.
In rugby news, Australia's search for a maiden test win at Loftus-Versfeld continues after an 18-10 defeat to South Africa in the Rugby Championship. Despite an encouraging display, the Wallabies failed to cash in on their periods of dominance, with the Springboks extending their barren record in Pretoria and snapping a three-match losing streak in the process. It also may have come at a heavy cost, with new number 8 Sean McMahon failing to emerge in the second half. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, sunny, light winds becoming northwesterly, 15 to 20 k's in the morning, then tending northerly, 20 to 30 k's in the early afternoon. The good news is 0% chance of any rain today. We're heading to a balmy 27 on grand final day in Sydney. Jimmy, what about at Penrith and out at Parks?
No, not, it's gone past balmy. It's blistering, 28 degrees at Penrith today. Nice and warm then out at Homebush. And sunny day, possible late rain at Parks today with a maximum of 22 degrees.
Sky Sports Radio has racing covered from all angles. Get the latest trots action every Tuesday morning at 10:30 with On The Pace. Interviews with trainers and drivers. Tips for the feature racing. On The Pace, every Tuesday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
I'm a new digital radio, and this is your old radio.
I don't miss a beat.
No, but you are missing up to 30 extra radio stations.
I've got a digital clock.
Yes, doesn't make you a digital radio. You need things like a screen displaying the song and artist, live news and weather updates, Bluetooth, and awesome digital sound quality.
I've got an alarm.
Still not digital.
Damn it.
Check out over 200 digital radios starting from just $29 at digitalradioplus.com.au or head into your nearest retailer and upgrade to digital.
Heard that.
So Hawthorn have done it. The first team in the 18-10 competition to go back to back.
Is Dab won this race? The Australian Grand Prix in 85. In 2016, Nico Rosberg wins the Australian Grand Prix.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
What are we doing?
What in the wide world of sports are we doing here, Raymond?
We're going to stay awake the whole day.
It's 6 o'clock, actually, because you've all brought your clocks forward, I hope, because of daylight saving. But guess what?
Grand final day,
it's
Jimmy
grand
Smith.
Grand final day. Can you believe? Is there a better day of the year?
Better weekend?
Oh, I tell you what. Can you imagine the players? The players are sleeping at the moment, but
you think they'd be sleeping now?
Oh, I hope they are.
It is 6 o'clock.
Nervous and excited and expectation.
Couldn't wait to get out there.
History can be made today.
We saw it yesterday.
From the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. We did see it yesterday. I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We've got, dare I say it, Raymond,
a massive grand final day show.
Massive grand final show. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take people's winners and first try scorer and Clive Churchill medalists, and we'll do a comp throughout the course of the day too. So we'll have a prize for that.
How do you want to do that?
Well, you'll want your winner and margin,
mm-hmm.
and then your first try scorer and your Clive Churchill medalist.
Cool.
Okay. We'll take that throughout, and we'll keep a log of that. So that we can, I know producer Jeremy
is all over
be able
that.
To
is he?
Yeah. Get updated with that. Yeah, I think he's half asleep as well. Big program though, Raymond. We've got our race replays, which is always a great way to start the
your
show.
Favorite part of the show.
Oh, by the way, we're going to release a talk topic a little bit later on this morning that we're very excited about, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
It's yours.
I did.
You did.
I can claim.
All submissions go through to producer Jeremy, and then
for endorsement.
Yeah, for endorsement, and we got a fully endorsed talk topic this morning.
Only because we had nothing else,
which is most unusual. Usually, there's a fair bit of backroom bickering about who's.
I think it had something to do with 5:59, about 50 seconds quick. But anyway,
Adrian Bott will be on. He trained his first Group 1 winner.
He did
In conjunction with Gay Waterhouse, who chained
her 136th, I think it was.
There you go, and her ninth. Flight stakes. Yeah. Just incredible. And think your father won 13 of them.
Correct, yep.
Amazing. John O'Shea, what a day yesterday for...
And what a spring carnival he's had.
Godolphin, the Blue Army.
Seven consecutive Saturdays now, Jimmy, in Sydney, they've won a group race.
And
that's some sort of record.
Performance of Haraki in that episode.
One for the ages.
Just amazing, just amazing. Blake Spriggs, good story.
Great young kid and 24 years old, had a few near misses in the last couple of years. But he's landed his first Group 1 as well yesterday on the big stage. So we'll talk to Blake a bit later as well, Jimmy.
We'll give you all the latest results coming out of the English Premier League as well. We'll have our Z&Z Watch quiz. Now, there's been a bit of concern from the listeners last week because it went very smoothly. which is a real departure from what it usually is.
Hasn't been that's unusual for us, Jimmy. Most all unusual. Year it's been a disaster.
You currently lead 20-19.
So,
it's a ding dong battle.
Are you wishing it for it to go wrong again today?
No. I'm just saying it's about $1.30 that it will go wrong. But that's the problem. Zorba will be along. We'll get a tip out of Zorb. He's a grand final winner, 1973. Guess who he beat?
Cronulla
Sharks. So maybe you can tell us how the Melbourne Storm can beat the Sharks, or that the Sharks might be able to make themselves a bit of history. Speaking of history, our grand final legend, our legend of the game, is also a grand final legend, and he'll be in action today as well. Peter Sterling.
Bit of synergy there, isn't there, Jim? Because Peter Sterling played in Parramatta's first ever grand final win in 1981. So potentially there could be a portent of things to come for long-suffering Sharks fans today.
That's a very good point that you make. And I think Sterlo has said that previously. He said, you know, people will play in premierships for Parramatta again, maybe, if you're patient. But
not the first.
Never the first. Mm. Never the first. And in fact, Peter Sterling played in every premiership win of the Parramatta
four.
Eels.
All four.
Yeah, all four. So Sterlo. And he's a listener to the program too, so we'll have Sterlo along.
I reckon Pete's up
for a
now?
Chat. No. No one's up, Ray. Dean Bulldog Richie will drag him out of bed too. He'll probably take a while to get going on this morning. We'll have Trent Landscale from tab.com.au. Tanya will give us a sports update as well. And we don't know whether Scotty Foster has returned from Fiji. We don't know whether we've got Steve or whether we'll just do the read ourselves. So anyway, that's the show. And there it is. How are you?
A fair bit to go yet.
Are we still going, Aaron?
We are.
How are you preparing for this grand final today? I've got to say, Raymond, I've moved down to the Shire, as you know.
So you become a pseudo Cronulla fan?
Well, it's hard not to. Mm. The feeling within the district is just amazing. There are Sharkies things up everywhere.
Streamers everywhere.
Yeah,
blue,
I said,
white and black.
I said to my middle boy, River, who's a Sharkies fan, and he became a Sharkies fan long before we moved to the Shire. I said...
Who's Austin go for?
Austin Roosters.
Yeah,
and Avery's Roosters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Riv's a Sharkies fan, and I said to him on Thursday, or whatever it was, I said, I'll buy you a pair of shorts, because Austin's got the Roosters shorts, and he doesn't have the Sharky shorts. So I said, I'll buy you a pair of shorts. Forgot all about it until yesterday when he said, when are you going to buy me those shorts? Well, fair enough. Memory like an elephant.
Was that the train trip?
So, yeah, we got the train, had the train trip. That was a bit of a special train trip. But we went down to Cronulla Leagues Club to get the shorts. Well, there were people everywhere. Massive lines just to become a member, and the reason they wanted to become a member of the Leagues Club is because they won't be able to get access unless you are a member today. I spoke to Leagues Club officials. They said, first in, first serve.
Gee.
So if you want to get there at 11 o'clock, get yourself there for a 7:15 kickoff. Mm. That's what you're going to have to do to get yourself in the Leagues Club. And the merchandise, they say they're doing about $100,000 a day merchandise. This is before they've even won or lost the grand final.
You can't help but look, if you're not going for Melbourne Storm, you'd like to see the Sharks win, wouldn't you? Because it's been such a long time, such a 49 years, Jimmy. They're that close.
Yes.
Who are you tipping again?
I'm tipping the Melbourne Storm.
Okay. I thought you were. So is your head say the Storm, your heart say the Sharks?
A little bit like that,
A lot of people are like that.
They are. I'll tell you what, though. In saying that, though, Raymond, they are a side that a lot of people don't like, the Cronulla Sharks. And it's based around a lot of people don't like Paul Gallen, a lot of people don't like Mick Innes, and a lot of people don't like Andrew Fifita.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But there's also some terrific young players in there who you like to see play well. Valentine Holmes is a match winner. Chad Townsend's game last week
was fantastic to see him
after the adversity he had the week before. Benny Barber's played some of his best football this year.
Yes.
Since 2012, was it? His LEM year?
Yes.
So they are great to watch.
Yep.
I've read it this week, Jimmy, and all the good judges talking about the game. Do you agree that the Sharks probably have more scoring potential in them than the Storm?
Yes, but not necessarily against the Storm.
Because the Storm's defense.
Storm have the great defense in the league. You know, one of the best defenses in the history of the NRL, in the NRL era since 1998. So that's the
thing.
Is that
your head talking again?
That's the head talking again. I reckon if you have a scoreline around about, you know, if the Sharks, if the Storm were to win, it's 16-12 or it's 16-14 or... They won't get many more than that. Yeah. If If they can score three tries, the Sharks,
they can win it.
I think they can win it.
Yeah. Well, it's game one.
That's how you've got to get your three tries. How do you get your three tries against the Storm?
Jimmy, anything can happen in sport.
No, and you're right.
We saw that yesterday at the MCG. I got home last night. I watched the first three quarters on fast forward.
Yeah.
And then watched the last quarter. And you watched the whole game, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, and it was almost like these young kids believed in themselves and they thought this was their moment. We're going to make this happen. That last quarter, I don't know how they just didn't run away with the game. The Swans hung in there as well as they possibly could, but you always had the feeling that we're going to get run over. Could that be today? Could the Sharks have this sense that this is their time, this is their moment, as we've seen today in this morning's papers? It's their time.
Well, I think it might be. It all comes down to the messages that they're receiving from their coach.
Mm.
So this is where Shane Flanagan comes into play. What are you telling your players? What have you been telling your players since, you know, 2 years ago?
Mm.
You know, a belief that they've had. For them to do what they did yesterday, the Western Bulldogs, they have defied history in every sense.
Absolutely.
I think Tab had them at $67.
Correct.
At the start of the semi-final series.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So what happens there is that in the history of this semi-final series, and the AFL's been using it for a long time.
The current system that the NRL have now adopted in recent
years. The NRL have now adopted over the last 4 years. No side in the history of the AFL had won the grand final outside the top three.
Correct.
No side had made the grand final outside the top four.
Correct.
They finished seventh.
In the NRL, Canterbury went through, didn't they?
Canterbury went through in 2014, but lost the grand final, but from seventh position. The Western Bulldogs finished seventh, had to play West Coast in Perth week one, had to play the three-time premiers in week two at the MCG and won. Had to go to Sydney and beat GWS at Spotless and won. And then took on an overwhelming favourite in the Sydney Swans at the MCG and won.
The emotion after that game, Jimmy, and with the ex-players, particularly Bob Murphy, those sort of guys.
Oh, how heartbreaking was that?
Chris Grant. The supporters who have been following that team through thick and thin since their one and only flag in 1954 when the great Ted Whitten was still alive, and many of them thought they would never ever see the day when they would win a flag. Two of my friends went, a great Bulldog supporters, an old racing writer, mate of mine, Timmy Hable, he's an MCG member. I texted him last night. His reply was quite simple: miracles do happen. Scotty Boo Bailey, good morning, Boo. I don't think he'd be listening, he'd be sound asleep. I managed through some friends of mine get him a couple of tickets to the grand final. So he rang his dad. His dad flew up from Tasmania, met Boo in Melbourne yesterday morning. They went to the MCG because they both thought that his father wouldn't be alive to see the day the Dogs made the grand final, and Bowie thought it would never happen. So I got a text from Bowie last night, and he just said he was absolutely speechless, lost for words. It affected a lot of people in different ways, and this is exactly the same emotion we'll have today if the Sharks can get up, Jimmy.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what that confirms to me, too, that story, is that you've got a lot of pull. Even with the AFL, you're getting tickets for people.
Oh, no.
It's amazing.
No pull.
The tentacles of Ray Thomas, they are spread everywhere. Need to be very careful about what you do and say around there.
You look after good people, Jim.
Yeah.
Try and look after good people.
Yeah. Boys, why are the gummies always referred to as coming from the Shire? Surely there are other Shires in Sydney. Go the Storm.
I've always wanted to know that. That's a very, very good question from Phil the Dragon. Can you answer that, Jim?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
And there are other Shires in Sydney. Phil the Dragon's 100% right.
Yeah.
Don from Carlton's chimed in.
Don from Carlton. Here we go. So grand final day has finally arrived for all tragic Sharks fans. A motorcade of hope will travel over the Tom Ugly's Bridge and along the Princess Highway. Old friendships will be rekindled as the motorcade crawls through Wiley Park and Lakemba en route to their destiny at ANZ Stadium. Sadly, around 9:30 p.m, the motorcade of hope will become a funeral procession post-choke. And as they say, that's all she wrote. And Rod from Nowra and Dave from Gray's Point and all of his loser mates will shuffle out of ANZ Stadium knowing their team is still the most unsuccessful team in the history of rugby league. Don from Carlton.
Good morning.
Tell you what. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, we're going to release this talk topic. We've talked it up so much.
Better be good.
You better fire some shots, Ray Thomas.
Our next caller is Mick, who has something to say to Greg.
Yeah, Greg Hall. I just love him. Ever since the Derby, I backed him on Mahogany, and once he kicked in the straight, no one had an answer. I'll never forget it.
Stunning, Mick. Stunning. It's easy to love a bet this spring carnival because we've got exciting offers going all the way to the finish line. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Being a bloke is busy work. You're a provider and a father and a husband. How are you supposed to fit in fitness around all that? The Man Challenge is an exercise and food program for real blokes like you. 10 weeks, just 10 minutes a day to lose weight and be a better bloke. Too right. With the Man Challenge, you can finally fit in being fit. Get the ball rolling today at themanchallenge.com.au. Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Grand final day in Sydney, and good luck to all the Sharks supporters and the Storm supporters. We can't forget the Storm supporters.
You keep
as well.
Forgetting the Storm. Tell you what, they had the 28-page lift out in the Daily Telegraph today. Apparently there's only one team
playing. Careful what you say, Jim.
Apparently there's only one team playing in the grand final today.
That's my boss you're talking about.
What about the lift out? The Storm don't get a mention in the 20-page lift out till page 21. By the way, there's another team playing the Melbourne Storm.
Good luck to all Storm supporters well, and to Sharks supporters. Great day. As we mentioned earlier, fantastic weather for it, Jimmy, and it's shaping up as a classic. We saw a classic at the MCG yesterday, an epic AFL Grand Final. Phenomenal story with the Bulldogs winning. And, Jimmy, that was where I got this. I hope it's a flash of inspiration for our talk topic today. We have talked it up. The Bulldogs coach, Luke Beveridge, received very impressive man. Played with Leon Cameron and the Bulldogs team.
Yeah, right.
Giants coach, and they're both great mates. Received his medal as the winning coach.
Yeah.
Made his speech.
Yes.
Was about to walk off the stage, realised there was something he hadn't said, and he asked Bob Murphy to come up on stage. And for those who know the AFL, Bob Murphy has carried that club for the best part of 10, 12 years, an absolute champion, the club captain. Did his knee early in the season, about round one or round two, Jimmy. Has watched the whole final series unfold from the sidelines. Luke Beveridge called up Bob Murphy and said, "You deserve this," and gave him his premiership medal. And
wow.
Bob Murphy was in tears. And I thought, Jimmy, classiest moments in sport. It got me thinking about some of the great things that I've seen in sport over the years. And it took me back to when I was a little kid. And I was watching the Australian Open final in... and it was the old Kooyong days in grass.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
was John Newcombe versus Jimmy Connors. Jimmy Connors, same thing, overwhelming favourite. Nuke at the end of his career. One last blast from the great man. 1974, I think it was, the Australian Open final. Midway through the third set, very, very tough. It looked like it was a call against one of Connors' serves.
Yes.
It looked like a fault.
Right.
Newcombe said that was out, etc. Wasn't overturned. Jimmy Connors knew that that serve was long. His very next point, he served a deliberate double fault. I mean, it was quite extraordinary.
And doesn't sound like Jimmy Connors,
doesn't,
does it?
At the end of the match, John Newcombe's speech was quite extraordinary. He said, "Sometimes you have to learn to win win like a champion and lose like a champion." And Jimmy Connors learned how to lose like a champion today. It just resonated with me from that moment. It was a classy moment from John Newcombe, as it was from Luke Beveridge yesterday too. Quite a distraught and a very emotional Bob Murphy.
Yeah, tears from Bob Murphy yesterday. The one that strikes me is Freddie Flintoff in the 2005 Ashes series, the classic at Edgbaston, where Brett Lee and Michael Kasperitz
on the pitch
going for that victory. I think they needed two runs, and Kasperitz feathers one behind.
He didn't hit it,
The bowling of bowling of Flintoff, and it was a distraught Brett Lee on the ground, and over he went to console him, Freddie Flintoff. And that set up, you know, that kick-started again the Ashes series and the interest in it, didn't it? Did. The 2005 Ashes series.
Does that work for you, Jim? Classiest moments in sport.
Classiest moments in sport. We'll take that as our talk topic this morning, absolutely. 1353 53, the open line number. People already wanting to have their say. Rod is on the line. Hello, Rod.
Jimmy, how you going, mate?
This is your day, Rodney. Good morning, mate.
I'll give you a little tip, boys.
Yeah.
If the Storm win and take that trophy back down to Melbourne, who's going to give a crap because the Bulldogs won? They're not going to get no media coverage. So in that case, you want to do a conspiracy theory, The Sharks are certainties, mate. Imagine the media frenzy. Anyway, listen, that Luke Bedridge, who I called Des Hasler's cousin, he's a classy bloke, mate.
Yeah.
And I hope today, when the Sharks win the comp, that the good old master coach Shane Flanagan walks down and hands his grand final medal off to good old Luke Capewell, because he deserves it, Jimmy.
He's very unlucky not to be playing, isn't he?
Yeah, but, you know, and Don from Carlton, how you going, brother? I'll tell you something, mate. I'm not going to be at the ANZ Stadium because it's a crap place to watch footy at. But at least our club didn't have to merge, mate.
We survived
some tough times and we've got crap loads of money now. And poor old St. George Illawarra. Oh, bro.
Hey, Rod, where are you going to watch the big one today?
My house is decked out in black, white and blue. I've got to get 30 blokes coming around.
Oh,
and when they win tonight, we've got one sabre driver. We're going to get crammed into a big little minibus and drive all the way to Sharks Leagues Club to cheer these champions home. Go to Sharks. Sharks by 16, Jimmy. 28-12.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
First try scorer?
Josiah Fecky. Left side. Pass from Maloney. Off to Graham. Out to Latelli. Just like last week on the Fecky.
You've played this game in your head so many times.
Clive Churchill medalist?
I've got to say, Paul Gallen, mate. He'll lead the way.
Paul Gallen. There you go.
Yep.
Good on you, mate. I hope you have a great day, Rod, and it finishes
best of luck,
extremely
Rod.
Well.
Yeah. One thing is, I'm going to be drunk either way. So I'll either be drunk happy or drunk sad. But I don't care. I'm proud of my boys. Go you, Sharks.
Drink responsibly, Rod. Obviously, during the course of today.
Best of luck, mate.
Yeah. 1353 53, the open line number. Margaret's on the line. Hello, Margaret.
Oh, hi, guys.
Good morning, Margaret.
I'd like to talk about in Peter Sterling days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether it was 1978, but they played St. George, and it was a draw. So I'm glad that they have 10 minutes extra now, because in them days, they didn't have draws. They went on to the next week. Well, guess what? One of the Parramatta players got married on the day before they had to play. And guess what? They got done.
They did.
Because they all went to this wedding, I reckon. And you know what?
What's the other thing?
In this Cronulla, that Michael Innes, we all call him Dr. Spock. You know, he looks just like Dr. Spock.
Dr. Spock, Michael. He's been called worse, I know, Margaret.
Yeah, I've called it to him too.
Who are you going for today, Margaret?
Oh, well, really, I'm a Parramatta girl, but I say the best team. Whoever wins, good luck to them.
You can enjoy.
Good on you.
Good on you,
good
Margaret.
On you. Thanks for the call,
stay on
Margaret.
The line, Margaret. We'll send you out a, what do you reckon, Jimmy? Willie Nelson's for the good times to Margaret?
Let's go with it.
Okay.
Let's go. Who's Willie Nelson and a tribute to Ray Price?
I think, well, Margaret likes Parramatta. So
yeah. Yeah. Surely it's not
the
surely,
right
surely, surely Willie Nelson hasn't done an album after the great number eight from the Parramatta Eels.
We could say it is just for Margaret's sake.
All right, there you go. That's coming your way, Margaret. 1353 53. Chris is on the line. Hello, Chris.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Classy acts. I still go back to John Landy in 1956.
Good one.
Australian Championships in the mile when Ron Clark fell and he stopped and helped him up and then he took off and won the race in near record time.
That's hard to beat, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, very good one.
That's one of the definitive ones, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
when you're watching the old footage, you see that all the time and that was pretty classy.
Mm.
Just two quick things. First of all, what happened to Chris Waller yesterday? No winners.
Yeah, a rare day. First time this season, and Sydney Meany hasn't trained to win.
Is that
win
right?
Chris?
The first time this year? Yeah.
He had about 3 seconds, 4/3. They're all around the place, Chris, but didn't get a
maybe
winner.
Maybe he's finished. What do you reckon?
I wish I was as finished as Chris Waller.
Now,
hey, Chris, he's got a certain horse called Winks running next week.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about him. Now, James, you went out to the SCG, I think, last year to watch the Bulldogs and the Swans like I did in the pouring rain.
And they lost the Swannies, yes, you're right.
And I was out there too, and it was one of those games, and you just watched it, and the Swans, we should have won the game, but they just wouldn't lie down. And I looked at Beveridge after the game. I looked at the players come up to the supporters. Beveridge came down to the supporters. I've been following him ever since. I said to you guys at the beginning of this semi-final series, I have never seen a more impressive young coach than this guy.
Yes.
Mm. I think what we saw yesterday was the greatest coaching performance in Australian history in terms of a domestic competition. What this guy is able to do he is just remarkable. And I think if you want to attribute this win to one thing, it is this guy, Luke Beveridge, who I think is going to change coaching, maybe put it on its head, because some of the methods he employs and some of the things this guy does, I've got no doubt if he took over a rugby league team, even though he doesn't know anything about league, he would have structures in place, and within 2 years, they'd be a force, because that's just the way this guy is.
Oh, big call. Sorry, Chris, got to go to the news, but yes, we're all in awe of what Luke Beveridge has done, not only as a coach, but certainly as a man. Time for the news.
I'm Arthur Stevens. A reminder, residents in the southeastern states should have moved their clocks forward an hour this morning. Daylight savings now in operation in New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia and the ACT. Queensland, Western Australia and the Northern Territory remain on local standard time zones. Floods are continuing to cause havoc in parts of South Australia and New South Wales, with more spring rain expected over the next few days. South Australians in flood-affected areas have been warned to keep sandbags in place to protect their property. Possible thunderstorms are forecast for Western and Southern coasts, Pastoral, Flinders, Riverland, Murraylands and upper southeast districts. Meanwhile, families in flood-hit regional New South Wales have been told to leave their homes this weekend. The SES has issued flood evacuation orders for Edward Street in West Wagga Wagga, as well as several streets in Condoblin. Both sets of orders instructed residents to leave by this morning and take enough spare clothing, medicines and personal hygiene supplies to last for a week. Meanwhile, Mike Baker from the New South Wales SES says his team are gratified to have received assistance from interstate crews to help get on top of the flooding.
Really good to see the support from our interstate colleagues from Western Australia and Victoria coming to lend a hand also getting the hand from Defence.
Power, meanwhile, has been restored in Perth after a major blackout hit the southwest of WA yesterday. Bunbury, Walpole and Denmark are the worst affected, with Western Power saying it has crews out working to restore services. An elderly driver has died after a week in hospital following a car crash on the New South Wales Central Coast. The 91-year-old woman died in hospital a week after her car collided with another car travelling in the opposite direction and then into a parked car in Terrigal. Two other passengers critically injured in a car accident near the New South Wales-Queensland border earlier last week have died in hospital. New South Wales police say five people were in a car on Mount Lindsay Road, Woodenbong, north of Lismore, when their Nissan ran off the road and crashed into an embankment last Tuesday night. The 20-year-old man driving and two of his passengers, a boy and a girl aged 16 and 17, were taken to Lismore Base Hospital. The driver was transferred to Gold Coast Hospital and is in a critical but stable condition. The remaining two passengers, a 17-year-old boy and a 22-year-old man, were flown to Gold Coast Hospital and Princess Alexandra Hospital in Brisbane in a critical condition, but both have now died. An air raid on a rebel-held neighbourhood of Aleppo in Syria has hit another hospital, according to a medical organisation that runs the hospital and a monitoring group. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more.
Doctors say cluster and barrel bombs and even a chlorine bomb rained down this morning on the largest medical facility in East Aleppo. They say two died and 10 were injured. Pictures show medical facilities destroyed. Just six hospitals are still operational in the rebel-held east of the city, where 250,000 people are under siege. The French Foreign Minister, Jean-Marc Ayrault, said the perpetrators would be held to account, adding that France was mobilising at the UN Security Council to stop the tragedy.
In other news briefly, a Bandawan cabbie who allegedly threatened to rape and kill government staff is now facing a string of grog and driving charges. And Western Australian mining companies say they want to exploit the red-hot demand for cobalt, with prices set to escalate in the next 4 years. This is Air News. Firstly, today sees a continuation of celebrations in Melbourne's West after the Western Bulldogs won their first AFL Premiership in 62 years. In case you missed it, the result was Bulldogs 13-11-89 to Sydney Swans 10-7-67. Fans have been invited to Witten Oval this morning to help the team keep the celebrations going. The grand final team will be presented on stage and there'll be interviews with players and coaches throughout the day. Bulldogs president Peter Gordon paid tribute to the club's supporters.
Most of all, our members and our supporters who stuck with us through decades of hardship and wondering whether the day would come when it wasn't the Collingwoods and the Carltons and the Hawthorns and the Geelongs, but us that got the opportunity to feature in the last week of September.
In the NRL, all roads lead to Homebush today for the grand final at ANZ Stadium. There'll be plenty of action throughout the day with curtain raiser games commencing this afternoon before the big game this evening. Mark Prendergast, the Transport Coordinator General, told Macquarie Radio the best way to get to the stadium will be using public transport.
You're heading out to see the Sharks take on Melbourne. Arrive early and the best options to use public transport. It's included in your ticket.
In rugby news, Australia's search for a maiden test win at Loftus-Versfeld continues after an 18-10 defeat to South Africa in the Rugby Championship. Despite an encouraging display, the Wallabies failed to cash in on their periods of dominance, with the Springboks extending their barren record in Pretoria and snapping a three-match losing streak in the process. It also may have come at a heavy cost, with new number 8 Sean McMahon failing to emerge in the second half. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny, light winds becoming northwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour in the morning, then tending northerly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour in the early afternoon. It's a sunny day, Sydney town. There's 0% chance of rain and a maximum of 27 degrees. What about at Wollstonecraft, Ray? And let's head down to Riverina with Wagga Wagga.
Wollstonecraft, lovely day, sunny and 27 degrees. Down at Wagga Wagga, Jimmy, they've had so much rain down there, but fortunately for grand final day, it's only 7 degrees at the moment, warming up to a sunny day and 22 degrees in Wagga.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Grand final day, Jimmy.
Yes.
You're so excited, aren't you? You're pumped.
It's a big day.
What time are the gates open, ANZ?
Well, the first games, I think, is at 1:15.
Is it a midday gate open?
Which is the under-20s. Your boys, Panthers, up against my boys.
They're a good team to watch too, Penrith.
Yeah.
They're a really good side to watch.
So, 11 a.m, ANZ Stadium precinct opens. 1:35, Holden Cup Grand Final, Panthers v Roosters. 3:40. State Championship Grand Final, the Illawarra Cutters versus the Burley Bears. 6:30 p.m, the entertainment commences, which features Keith Urban, Richie Zambora and Orianthe. Now, you had Orianthe and Richie Zambora out at the races
yesterday.
Saw them
yesterday.
Yeah, how were they?
Are
you a big Richie Zambora fan?
I like Bon Jovi, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. And he played a lot of Bon Jovi songs.
Okay.
And he actually had a lot of the crowd stay back to watch him in the Theatre of the Horse. So I think it's a really good idea. And I think the race club looking to do more of those sort of after-the-race meeting type concerts on big days. And
they used to do it all the time in the members. They used to have a band play there.
It's starting to do more of it.
Dancing and...
Just digress from my first grand final, Jimmy. The reason I asked you when the gates opened was actually Cronulla's 78 grand final draw with Manly, 11 all by memory. And I remember catching a train in very early on the Sunday morning and then walking up to the SCG with my mates.
So,
and the gates opened, I think, 8 o'clock back then, and you're on the hill all day. And there's drunken people around you all day, but it was a great experience. And but leaving,
so how old were you?
No, I've been 14.
You're 14.
Yeah. So and
yeah, right.
And went to watch that game, and it was a draw. I remember leaving, thinking, what a great spectacle. And then the following year, I went to see St George and Canterbury win at the SCG. Again, gates opened very early, and away you went. But yesterday was
Gates open 1:15. Yeah,
1:15 for today. There you go. Jimmy, it was grand final day, so to speak, for the Sydney Spring Carnival yesterday as well. Still one more Group 1 to go next weekend, the Spring Champion at Randwick. But yesterday was Epsom Handicap Day. Terrific meeting. But the big racing started Friday night. Chautauqua was back in the Moyer Stakes, but a three-year-old colt by the name of Extreme Choice was super impressive.
Followed then by Extreme Choice. Chautauqua easing out about five wide. He's got five or six to make up. Round the turn, Board of Muscle buffering. Wild Rain claimed them. Chautauqua peel right to the outside. Wild Rain in front. Heatherly's coming after it. Wild Rain and Heatherly. And now Extreme Choice is now Chautauqua. Extreme Choice, the three-year-old, flies home. Extreme Choice got up to win from either Wild Rain or Heatherly, and buffering might hold fourth. Chautauqua fifth. What happened? What happened to the great
horse? What happened to the great horse? Did he get too far back? I saw, was it Michael Hawks talking about how he liked the Moonee Valley
circuit?
He does.
I think just 1,000 metres first up, Jimmy, and he still hit the line well. But Extreme Choice, lightweighted three. The three-year-old crop this season, Jimmy, is outstanding.
Yeah, well, the Manikato Stakes is being run on Friday the 21st of October.
Cox Plate Eve.
The day before the Cox Plate. Chautauqua, 2.70 favourite still. Astern. Interested to hear John O'Shea's thoughts on Astern's runs yesterday. $7.50 equals second favourite with English. It gets a long way back English, which is unusual for a gay Waterhouse.
Yes, that's her racing style.
Yeah. Buffering, Capitalist, Fell Swoop, Lucky Hustler, all at $11.
No Extreme
Choice.
But
where do we see Extreme Choice?
Yeah, he'll go the following Saturday to Derby Day and run in the Coolmore Stud Stakes, which I think is likely to be a Stearns major target as well. So that potentially sets up a super clash between a Stern and Extreme Choice. We saw a Stern yesterday in the Roman Consul Stakes. He ran second, Jimmy, but lost no admirers. Take nothing away from the winner. Peter and Paul Snowden's trained Russian Revolution. A very good horse. Capitalist was third. This was a terrific race.
Stern is three lengths away. He's really starting to go through his gears on the outside. Russian Revolution tries to kick. Capitalist gets his chance. A Stern, though, is coming on the outside. Russian Revolution's giving a big side. A Stern, he's going to have to dig in. He'll need to produce. A Stern's going to Russian Revolution. Russian Revolution just in front. Clings on. Russian Revolution won the Roman Consul from a Stern. Capitalist third. Then Nikita...
There was the performance of Russian Revolution, unbeaten now, but a Stern, I thought it was a high-quality run.
Phenomenal run. His closing sectional, Jimmy, of the last 600 metres, 32.29. I was going back through my records last night. I can't find a horse coming home faster in a Sydney race since Lonro. He went 32.20, I think, winning a George Ryder. So that is as fast as you can possibly go.
So do you have a bit of a question mark over J-Max tactics there?
Well, not really, because it was a long stewards inquiry after the race.
Right.
And the stewards even got back and looked at vision of Stern's previous run in the Golden Rose this spring, and exactly the same race tactics were used, which was James McDonald's reasoning for his ride. If they hunt a Stern out of the gates, Jimmy, he tends to over-race.
Right.
And he can't finish his race off. If you let him snag him back, he did in the Golden Rose, and again yesterday in the small field, the horse relaxes and did a super job. Russian Revolution, very good. Capitalist was good running third, Jimmy. The Flight Stakes, Gay Waterhouse, she's amazing. And for Adrian Bott, who's now in a training partnership with him, an historic moment, their first group won together with Global Glamour.
Global Glamour railing hard leads from Bridal Lane. Awoke pulling out. Yankee Rose Steve still being cuddled. Skylight Glow's going through on the fence and Cezanne's last. Global Glamour with a good lead from Yankee Rose, Cezanne and Skylight Glow. Global Glamour two lengths clear from Yankee Rose and Cezanne. Gaze looking for another Flight Stakes. Global Glamour a length clear. Yankee Rose is trying a hard out. Global Glamour clinging on though, and Global Glamour gets the job done for Clark. Beat the favourite Yankee Rose and Cezanne. Then came Scott.
Gay Founder of the Flight Stakes, as did Adrian Bott, his first, as you mentioned. So the 1,000 guineas is on next week. Fox Play, the $2.80 favourite. Harlow Gold at $7. Yankee Rose, who ran pretty well yesterday into second at $9. But Global Glamour, $13.
Good day, yeah. It just goes to show that, Jimmy, how difficult it is for our Sydney fillies to back up in a week and running the 1,000 guineas. But she's a chance to do it. We'll ask Adrian Bott later. Jimmy, the Epsom Handicap, this was an epic. This was a win for the ages by Godolphin's Hauraki.
Goes for home on Fabrizio. It's six lengths clear from Le Romain, giving chase quickly. So's McIntosh. Dibiani's running on. Further back to Happy Clapper and McCreary. It's Fabrizio in front, but Le Romain, Dibiani and McIntosh are all closing in. McIntosh through the centre from Dibiani. McIntosh, Dibiani. McIntosh, Dibiani. Flushing home is Hauraki the outside. Oh, my goodness, Hauraki's come that fast, I'm not sure. Lunging at Dibiani and McIntosh. Then came Happy Clapper.
Well, what a run. Unbelievable. Maybe J-Mac got it right on that occasion.
Oh, wow.
Perfect bit of work there. Interested to hear what John O'Shea has to say, because I think he was gobsmacked after the race, wasn't he?
Everyone was. That was as good as you'll see. That was superimposed-like, coming from nowhere to win an Epsom.
Well, looking at the Cox Plate market, Winks, $1.80. $1.80 in the Cox Plate. Hartnell, $6. United States, $11. Blackheart, Bart, $13. If you want to get out to Hauraki, $15 for Hauraki after that performance yesterday.
A couple of big clashes today. Hartnell v. the United States in the Turnbull Stakes, Jimmy. And next week, Winks v. Blackheart, Bart in the Caulfield Stakes. So Cox Plate betting will be certainly reshaped there. The other big one yesterday was the Metropolitan, and a very popular winner here, Blake Spriggs for John Thompson on Sir John Hawkwood.
Who shot the bomb and being roused along as they turn? Storm the Stars has run his race and Sir John Hawkwood stormed to the front from DIC, Sense of Occasion. Antonio Giuseppe, Grand Marshal on the rails. Further back to Sacred Master and Allergic making ground. Sir John Hawkwood, 150 out from Antonio Giuseppe. Sir John Hawkwood, Antonio Giuseppe, Allergic, Sacred Master late. But Blake Spriggs has got it won. Sir John Hawkwood goes on to win the Metropolitan from Antonio Giuseppe and Allergic. Close up the outside.
So I think Blake Spriggs is starting to get pretty excited about Sir John Hawkwood. I think he's been a fan, obviously, for a long time. And I what did he say? He wanted to win that Group 1 in Sydney before heading down to Melbourne. So you just wonder... I'm just looking for him in the market. There he is for the Melbourne Cup. $35.
Jeez,
$35 in the Melbourne Cup. Hartnell the favourite there at $13. Bondi Beach and Big Orange. Jamaica and
Jamaica runs
Brave,
today,
$15.
Yeah, Jamaica runs today in the Turnbull as well, so look out for her. The final big one yesterday was the Premier Stakes. This was a tremendous finish. The Gary Moore train takedown somehow managed to win.
How Much Do You Love Me rolls away from the fence. Takedown's got the rails to go through if good enough. Then Smart Volatility. A good project behind Needs a Run. That Our Boy Malachi, Danish Twist, is creeping up the rails. The favourites are going to get cracking. English is starting to wind up now. Takedown in front. Our Boy Malachi, the Rocky Rocket, moves up on the outside. Our Boy Malachi, Takedown, Danish Twist, they split it. Oh, takedown maybe from Danish Twist. Our Boy Malachi, great finish in the last. Then English Southern...
It was a great finish in the last. I didn't see it, but I can only imagine what Gary Moore was getting to yesterday.
Well, Richie Sambora is getting ready to play in the Theatre of the Horses after the last gig.
Yeah.
I reckon the best show in town was Gary Moore sprinting onto the track and almost leapt into the saddle with Blake Shin coming back on takedown.
Our Boy Malachi was in front of takedown at about 200 out, wasn't he?
Yeah, he ranged up to win.
Oh, he was going to win for all money.
He was... Because of the barrier, three wide face breeze, that might have been the difference. But takedown's gone back to back, shorts in the Premier.
Yes.
Fantastic effort from Gary Moore. He's thinking, Jim, long term of going, taking that horse to Hong Kong for the international sprint. So great to see Gary have a big winner there. A couple of 2 year olds yesterday, Jimmy, just in passing. I know you want to get the skates on here. Jorda was very good in the Jim Crack Stakes.
Yes.
And Khan, who's the most magnificent looking colt you'll ever see. Chestnut, White Blaze, Flaxen Mane, terrific in the Breeders' Plate. Always exciting to see the 2 year olds.
Because Condor Heroes was a strong favourite going into that one.
Yeah, that big stiff headwind he ran into until well into the straight. So it was a brave effort from Condor Heroes.
Guys, didn't Jonathan Thurston give his grand final medal to Steve Price at Canterbury? That's Steve at Rudy Hill. Spot on, Steve.
Yeah,
2004 he did that. If you want to send an SMS, 0419 SMSBSB. That's 0419 767 272. And then you get, I mean, these sort of things. Here's classy moments in sport. The Brownlee brother, who sacrificed finishing first in the Ironman triathlon to stop and carry his brother over the finish line, allowing his brother to finish second and him third.
Yeah, that
That's from Eagle Eye Phil.
Point.
Well done. That PS, what happened to Chris Waller yesterday? I think McCreary was in the wrong Group 1. He dominated Sir John Hawkwood and Allergic last start.
Well, Chris had place getters in all three Group 1s, plus the place getter in the Phillies race and in the Craven Plate. He had five minor place getters yesterday, Jimmy. Mm. So his horses were racing well, but that's racing, as they say.
Classiest act in sport. Cameron Smith embracing a distraught Paul Gallen at the end of a demoralising grand final loss. Oops. We need to wait 15 hours for this. It's Don from Carlton. Hasn't he hit the ground running this morning? 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break and be back with more.
Sky Sports Radio has racing covered from all angles. Get the latest trots action every Tuesday morning at 10:30 with On The Pace. Interviews with trainers and drivers. Tips for the feature racing. On The Pace, every Tuesday morning at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy an air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, LG and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card, up to $200, depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
All colours, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Deadlines are a great motivator. Need some motivation to finally do something about that beer belly? The Next Man Challenge kicks off on October the 10th. Hi, I'm Adam McDougall and I created the Man Challenge, a 10-week exercise and food program that takes just 10 minutes a day. The time to do something about your beer belly has arrived. No more procrastinating. Do it for your family. Do it for you. Do it now. Register at themanchallenge.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Grand final day. We're looking for our grand final winner, the margin, the Clive Churchill medalist, and our first try scorer. We'll have a prize. Haven't decided what it is yet. We've got so many prizes here that we can give away. We've got Sony Music CDs. We've got. I'll tell you what we're going to do for our event cinemas quiz. Mm-hmm. And Prakash has actually said that we can do this. Big day for him out there at Parramatta Event Cinemas.
The best in business, Prakash.
I mean, it's well known around New South Wales.
It's just a fact now.
But I think it's now accepted nationwide. Yeah. Gold class. The double
outstanding,
pass.
Outstanding. Yeah.
Gold class. Fantastic. We've also got all the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, to give away. We might. That's a good prize, isn't it?
And don't forget, two tickets, entrants and members to Spring Champion Stakes Day at Royal Randwick next Saturday, and we'll give that away a little bit later in the show.
Jeez, we've got some prizes here, isn't it? The little show that could on a Sunday morning,
little
huh?
Little show they can't kill.
It's the middle of the night, really. But given the fact that you don't wind your clock forward until you get up the next day, do you?
Yeah, true.
So technically, it's still 10 to 6 on a Sunday morning.
It is tragic, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you look forward to that day when you can actually get the extra hours.
The other one, how good's that? It's the little things in life, isn't it, Ray?
The problem is, though, you end up staying awake a little bit later, thinking, "Oh, I've got an extra hour here." Anyway,
it's amazing how the human brain works, isn't it? 1353 53, the open line number. Anthony is on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. First of all, congratulate Sky Sports Radio's very own Mark Hunter, whose son Lockie played for the Bulldogs yesterday.
Oh, well said, Anthony. Yeah, that was good. He played well too.
It was in one of those father and son things. So yesterday, Blake Spriggs, Dale Spriggs, father and son.
That's correct. Yeah.
And also, can I highlight the irony that the Aussie cricket team selected a bowler who only last year was suspended for carving a shape of a penis at the Adelaide Oval, and with his spikes, and in the first one day. It was a South African batsman, Dick Cock, who destroyed the Australian cricket team in the first one day.
Do you see the deep sense of irony in that whole thing, do you, Anthony?
I think I do, yeah. You don't?
Well, now I do. Now that you've pointed it out.
and Ray, something was highlighted yesterday which took my mind. You know, Kieran McAvoy is the same age as Bowman. Mm-hmm. And they've both got the same amount of group ones. McAvoy's under the radar, and Bowman gets a lot of publicity, which he deserves. But I'm sort of saying McAvoy's the same age and same amount of group ones. Maybe
how many group
he should
ones?
Be given a bit of a highlight.
Yeah, both close towards 60 now.
Okay.
I think it's 55 each, I think, top of my head, Anthony. But it was a very good point. Maybe because Kieran spent a lot of time overseas. Huey was really building up his career, wasn't he, Anthony? He spent about 6 years over in Europe.
So the group ones that he won over in Europe count?
They count.
You don't answer the irony, Jimmy?
Jimmy's still shaking his head here, Anthony.
still looking at Quinton de Cox, 178.
that did hurt us.
Anyway, no, it's a good call, Anthony. Well done. Do appreciate that one. We're not afraid to go left field.
No.
If we need to go left field, we can go left field. By the way, that next ODI is on tonight. Australia up against South Africa, and so that'd be a great segue from the, if you can go through the rugby league and then bang into the cricket.
You reckon we'll still be awake then, Jim?
Wouldn't have thought so. I don't think you and I will be, right? but gee, they were pumped in that first game, didn't they?
Jeez, 178 off 113 balls or something.
You take Mitchell Starc out.
You come back to the field very quickly.
Puts a real hole in your bowling attack, doesn't it? Let's go to the line again. Peter is there. G'day, Peter.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Peter.
Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to talk about the ride of Jay Victoire, the 50-kilo jockey on Fabrizio yesterday.
Yep.
I just don't know how to set up a GoFundMe for a one-way plane fare home. if the plane's full, put him in the luggage department.
He copped a grilling, I can tell you that.
Did he?
Yeah, the stewards went through that ride with a fine-tooth comb, and quite rightly so, because he set the horse a task, didn't he, Peter? He went out way too, actually didn't go out too fast. He went out fast in the middle part of the race, from about the 1200 to the 800, and he opened up that huge lead. And I think he thought he might have been in the Oakley Plate, Peter.
I know Gay likes the horses on speed, and when she won the prior race with Global Glamour, I grew in confidence, having leaders were winning, and I tipped it to quite a few friends, and maybe they're not friends today. And I just wonder whether he needs his helmet fitted with a set of rear-vision mirrors so I can look back at Australia as he's leaving.
Not bad. Not bad, Pete. Good on you. Everyone's talking through their kick with that one, but I think that's a pretty fair comment. We'll be interested to hear what the thoughts were of the co-trainer of Fabrizio.
He's now a Group 1 winning
trainer. Group
1
winning trainer, that's right. Adrian Vaught, he joins us on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Good morning.
Yeah, why wouldn't you bounce out of bed, Adrian? Congratulations. How's it feel to be a Group 1 winner?
Yeah, it's fairly hard to describe. Sort of hasn't sort of quite sunk in the enormity of it all. But look, it's an honour to be a part of such a great great association that the stables had with a race such as the Flight Stakes.
Global Glamour, Adrian, when did the Flight Stakes become a realistic target for her? Given she hasn't had much luck in either of her two runs back this spring, has she?
No, not at all. And look, her first two runs to us indicated that she was always going to appreciate getting over a bit further. So the goal all the way through was to stick to the series, and with the Flight Stakes being the main aim. And if at any stage she sort of showed she wasn't going to see out a trip, we're more than happy to look at other options and take her down to Melbourne and keep her to the sprint distances. But she's a lovely, big, strong filly. I don't know if you saw her in the yard there yesterday, but against her own age and sex, with a big filly like that, we sort of never really had any concerns with her not seeing out the 1600.
What about next week's 1,000 guineas? She's in the market there. Is she a chance to be running in that?
Look, we haven't given it we haven't had that discussion as of yet. Look, just wanted to see how we come through yesterday's race. But look, it may be a bit tight, bit of an ask to get on the float and get down there and back up within a week. So, but look, won't rule it out at this stage. But haven't got any commitment either.
She's a little bit tough to handle at different stages, from what I understand. And despite the great history that Gay Waterhouse has in this race, your call for the barrier blanket might have been a key in this one, Adrian. Did she seem to settle better yesterday?
Oh, much better. She's been pretty good at the races and in the mounting yard and around in the saddling stalls, etc. It was just the last, she seemed to handle all that well. It was more when she got out to the out onto the track and behind the gate, then she sort of got quite fidgety, and that's when the energy levels got up. And when she was in the gate, she was quite restless. And as we saw yesterday, the key with her was just jumping cleanly. So it's been frustrating the last few starts to see her not do that. So we're just trying to tinker with ways. And we've got a great team of staff behind us, some great horsemen there that do plenty of work with the horses at the gates. And we experimented with that, and it seemed to really settle her down and have that effect. So it would be madness not to try it. And obviously it's worked well for her. It helped her really settle and relax. And she stood beautifully. And when the gates opened, she was one of the first to ping away.
Yeah, she was terrific. Great ride too by Timmy Clark, wasn't it? Adrian rated beautifully in front. Adrian, you might have heard the caller we had on before you came on air, and have to ask you about Fabrizio. The steward certainly had you under the pump. You handled yourself well there in the inquiry after the race. But what was your take on Fabrizio's run?
Yeah, I can understand why the stewards are asking the questions. And, sorry for Johan as well, speaking with also Tim Clark after the race, who rode him last start. He said, a similar thing happened to him in that race. He, at a certain point, the horse just took hold and was very strong for him. That looked to be the case there again yesterday. He jumped away well and looked to get to the front nice and easy. He looked very relaxed and was travelling beautifully, about 1,000. The horse sort of took hold, and Johan said as soon as he's hit the headwind, he's really gotten strong for him. and he tried his hardest to get the horse to relax and come back underneath him. I thought he fought him for a furlong or so, and you know, I think about the 800, I think he felt, look, instead of trying to fight the horse, he'd already established a bit of a margin. So, you know, quite rightly, he just sort of let the horse slide from there. And as I said, look, a bit of a difficult ride for him in that sense, because he was racing very strongly. So, and look, that's his natural pattern. If you go back last start to benchmark, he ran very strongly as well. The early sectionals were above average as well. So look, you know, a group one event, naturally a bit more pressure there in the race, and he's dropped to 50 kilos. So naturally the horse's a bit stronger there. So yeah. I feel for Johanny, he certainly made an effort to restrain the horse, and you know, as the stewards did note, but look at he probably got into a difficult position there where he had to make the call, and you know, quite rightly just let the horse, you know, slide from that position.
Yeah. We'd love to ask about English. We wanted to ask about Chain of Fools as well. We've got the news chasing us, Adrian. We can't do that. Congratulations, though. First Group 1 success for yourself, and fantastic, no doubt there'll be plenty more to come.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian Bott there, co-trainer with Gay Waterhouse of Global Glamour, winner of the Flight Stakes. A break and then back with more, John O'Shea included.
I'm Arthur Stevens. A reminder, residents in the southeastern states should have moved their clocks forward an hour this morning. Daylight savings now in operation in New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia and the ACT. Queensland, Western Australia and the Northern Territory remain on local standard time zones. Floods are continuing to cause havoc in parts of South Australia and New South Wales, with more spring rain expected over the next few days. South Australians in flood-affected areas have been warned to keep sandbags in place to protect their property. Possible thunderstorms are forecast for Western and Southern coasts, Pastoral, Flinders, Riverland, Murraylands and upper southeast districts. Meanwhile, families in flood-hit regional New South Wales have been told to leave their homes this weekend. The SES has issued flood evacuation orders for Edward Street in West Wagga Wagga, as well as several streets in Condobolin. Both sets of orders instructed residents to leave by this morning and take enough spare clothing, medicines and personal hygiene supplies to last for a week. Meanwhile, Mike Baker from the New South Wales SES says his team are gratified to have received assistance from interstate crews to help get on top of the flooding.
Really good to see the support from our interstate colleagues from Western Australia and Victoria coming to lend a hand, and also getting the hand from Defence.
Power, meanwhile, has been restored in Perth after a major blackout hit the southwest of WA yesterday. Bunbury, Walpole and Denmark are the worst affected, with Western Power saying it has crews out working to restore services. An elderly driver has died after a week in hospital following a car crash on the New South Wales Central Coast. The 91-year-old woman died in hospital a week after her car collided with another car travelling in the opposite direction and then into a parked car in Terrigal. Two other passengers critically injured in a car accident near the New South Wales Queensland border earlier last week have died in hospital. New South Wales police say five people were in a car on Mount Lindsay Road, Woodenbong, north of Lismore, when their Nissan ran off the road and crashed into an embankment last Tuesday night. The 20-year-old man driving and two of his passengers, a boy and a girl aged 16 and 17, were taken to Lismore Base Hospital. The driver was transferred to Gold Coast Hospital and is in a critical but stable condition. The remaining two passengers, a 17-year-old boy and a 22-year-old man, were flown to Gold Coast Hospital and Princess Alexandra Hospital in Brisbane in a critical condition, but both have now died. An air raid on a rebel-held neighbourhood of Aleppo in Syria has hit another hospital, according to a medical organisation that runs the hospital and a monitoring group. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more.
Doctors say cluster and barrel bombs and even a chlorine bomb rained down this morning on the largest medical facility in East Aleppo. They say two died and 10 were injured. Pictures show medical facilities destroyed. Just six hospitals are still operational in the rebel-held east of the city, where 250,000 people are under siege. The French Foreign Minister, Jean-Marc Ayrault, said the perpetrators would be held to account, adding that France was mobilising at the UN Security Council to stop the tragedy.
In other news briefly, a Bandawan cabbie who allegedly threatened to rape and kill government staff is now facing a string of grog and driving charges. And Western Australian mining companies say they want to exploit the red-hot demand for cobalt, with prices set to escalate in the next 4 years. This is Air News. Firstly, today sees a continuation of celebrations in Melbourne's West after the Western Bulldogs won their first AFL Premiership in 62 years. In case you missed it, the result was Bulldogs 13-11-89 to Sydney Swans 10-7-67. Fans have been invited to Witten Oval this morning to help the team keep the celebrations going. The grand final team will be presented on stage and there'll be interviews with players and coaches throughout the day. Bulldogs president Peter Gordon paid tribute to the club's supporters.
Most of all, our members and our supporters who stuck with us through decades of hardship and wondering whether the day would come when it wasn't the Collingwoods and the Carltons and the Hawthorns and the Geelongs, but us that got the opportunity to feature in the last week of September.
In the NRL, all roads lead to Homebush today for the grand final at ANZ Stadium. There'll be plenty of action throughout the day with curtain raiser games commencing this afternoon before the big game this evening. Mark Prendergast, the Transport Coordinator General, told Macquarie Radio the best way to get to the stadium will be using public transport.
You're heading out to see the Sharks take on Melbourne. Arrive early and the best options to use public transport. It's included in your ticket.
In rugby news, Australia's search for a maiden test win at Loftus-Versfeld continues after an 18-10 defeat to South Africa in the Rugby Championship. Despite an encouraging display, the Wallabies failed to cash in on their periods of dominance, with the Springboks extending their barren record in Pretoria and snapping a three-match losing streak in the process. It also may have come at a heavy cost, with new number 8 Sean McMahon failing to emerge in the second half. Australian Independent Radio News.
Bingley's new kitchen and laundry catalogue is out now. Buy any built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washing machine or dryer in it and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth 10% of your purchase.
That's a great domestic deal.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Domestic deal?
Yes.
Mum, all this month, get a bonus 10% Bingley gift card with any built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washer or dryer from our latest kitchen and laundry catalogue.
And there's a great domestic deal more in store.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Gallo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Gallo's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Gallo's Junior Pie 12 packs. Entertaining, made simple. Gallo's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores. And if they're not there, please ask for Gallo's by name. At Gallo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather today, sunny, light winds becoming northwesterly, 15 to 20 k's in the morning, then tending northerly, 20 to 30 k's in the early afternoon. The great news for Grand Final Day, Jimmy, 0% chance of any rain, heading for a maximum temperature of 27 degrees.
Ooh.
And sunny on Grand Final Day. Jimmy, what about at Yarrawarra and down at Young?
Yarrawarra! Mm. Yarrawarra Tigers, the Junior Rugby League club of Chad Townsend.
I knew there was some
Keith
synergy
Galloway.
There.
Yeah, so Yarrawarra, 27 degrees at Yarrawarra. Now Young, down in my part of the world.
Your part of the world?
Yeah, I was born in Young.
Smith? Oh, were you really?
I was born in Young Mercy Hospital. Sunny day, possible late rain, and of course the Young Cherry Pickers are the junior club of Jordan McLean, who will be turning out for the Melbourne Storm. And maximum temperature. What are you laughing at?
Producer Jeremy produces the odd gem from now.
Well, he didn't say it to me. He just said it to you, did he?
You didn't hear him?
No.
He said it was a sad day for Young.
Sad day for Young and Osborne. That's not very nice. Oh, what happened to this one team and all that sort of thing?
It was funny. Well, it's probably not that funny. But
21 degrees, Young.
The Amarok Highline Runout Sale is on now. This top-of-the-line workhorse can be yours from only $53,990 drive away, including free 8-speed auto, plus $2,000 cash back. But you'll need to hurry, because with premium features like Bi-Xenon headlights, a rear-view camera, satellite navigation and permanent four-wheel drive, you just know they won't be in the showroom for long. Offer ends October 31st. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
Oh, now we're on for the ZNZ. Okay, just a minute. We've got a lot of live reads to go through this morning, right?
And you better do them, James.
Which is a good sign, too, because, the little show on a Sunday, we sell stuff.
We need these live reads.
We sell stuff. ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. ZNZ were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See Alan, Great man, Al, at ZNZ, Westfield at Hurstville, or visit the website znz.com.au. That's znz.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and the St George Junior Referees.
Being a bloke is busy work. You're a provider and a father and a husband. How are you supposed to fit in fitness around all that? The Man Challenge is an exercise and food program for real blokes like you. 10 weeks, just 10 minutes a day to lose weight and be a better bloke. Too right. With the Man Challenge, you can finally fit in being fit. Get the ball rolling today at themanchallenge.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
But now Winx is starting to extend from Dibiani and Haraki. Oh, she's a wrecking ball, Winx. And there's the seventh picket in the fence. Winx goes on to win the Chipping Norton, beats Dibiani and Haraki.
Not only is Henrik Stenson the Open champion, it's the lowest score anyone has ever made in the Open. 20 under par. What a performance. A round of 63 with four birdies in the last five holes. He took everything Phil Mickelson could throw at him. And on the day, he was just too good.
Queensland have won game two. They put one and two back to back. The Blues, they sink to the ground, exhausted. Queensland have won another series.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Grand final day in Sydney where the countdown has begun. And our talk topic, Jimmy, is actually going gangbusters a couple here. I love this one from Jack from Old Bar. Classiest acts in sport. Muhammad Ali not enlisting in the US military and sacrificing the World Heavyweight Championship for his beliefs. Very, very controversial at the time.
Yes.
But with the passing of time, it's become an extraordinary act of self-belief, as Jack from Old Bar said. On this day 28 years ago,
yes,
James Smith, Steffi Graf won the Olympic gold medal.
The great Steffi Graf.
Completing one of the most dominant years ever seen in any sport when she also won all four Grand Slam titles. The Golden Slam, it was called, for the great Steffi Graf.
Big hour coming up, Raymond. John O'Shea, Blake Spriggs will have our event cinema quiz questions coming as well. We'll talk about the world of the round ball game. We'll have our Z&Z watch quiz. Hopefully we get that wrong again, because I think that's what the people are looking for. Got it right last week and everyone was upset. Zorba with all his thoughts in the world of rugby league. And, of course, we'll have the scratchings around New South Wales as well. Just before to go to John O'Shea. Morning, it was all class. Ian Craig's last race call with Mr. Unforgettable. That was Michelle from Dubbo. Don't you just love the first day of daylight saving?
Not really,
Michelle. Not really, Michelle. We were up at 3 and here at 4, it seemed.
That's okay. But we're loving it being
they
here.
They were powering through now. They are powering through Godolphin too, yeah, Roman.
And this man would have not had much sleep tonight because he's got a big day at Flemington today, but he had a terrific day yesterday at Randwick. John O'Shea's been good enough to join us. John, good morning. And I watched a replay a couple of times since of Haraki. How did he win?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, Ray. We never got to cheer him come that quick.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I saw the interviews with you after, John. You just seemed gobsmacked about the performance, and yet there's such a class horse that has used these race pattern before. I guess it's not so surprising.
Oh, we weren't sort of surprised, ultimately, Jimmy, that he probably won the race. We went in there optimistic that he'd be very competitive, but, you know, he was last turning for home, held up, and the race just changed complexion in the last 100 metres, and he comes very quick. We were just sort of thought he was going to run a lovely fifth or sixth, and but you know, he ended up sticking his neck out and getting the job done, which is very rewarding for the whole team.
And also for the horse too, hasn't it, John? Because he's been so close a number of times in Group 1s. He's chased home like the champion mare Winx last start and the George Main, so he's been knocking on the door for this major.
I think it's fair to say Ray's been much maligned for some of his performances. A couple of your colleagues at Sky have been pretty derogatory about him in the last 12 months. But we always had faith in him, and it's very good that he's repaid that faith.
Name names, John. Who's potted him? Fair to come.
Suffice to say that one of them wobbles his head a little bit.
Well, the Duff wouldn't be listening now. It could be a bit too early.
A bit early for the Duff. But I'm sure that it'll get back to him. No problem there. Well, speaking of horses that lose but maintain their reputation, I thought the performance of Astern was a very good one. What did you make of it, John?
Yeah, mate, I think he lost no admirers. You know, obviously the circumstances that developed in the race contributed to his defeat. Sectionally, he was very good. A bit of credit score has got to go to the winner of the race because, his performance was good. But, he's just got a racing pattern that he's always susceptible to that sort of scenario developing where he has too much to do the last 100. And that's what happened yesterday. But, the watch was very good. And I think, like you say, he lost no admirers.
Mm. He was terrific, as was It Somewhat and the Craven Plate. John, all three horses, Horaki, Astern, It Somewhat, where to next? Have you sort of worked that out yet?
Horaki, I suppose I'll recommend to His Highness and John Ferguson that he would be nominated. Yeah, we've got him in the Cox Plate. And if they were happy enough to run him, well, he'd probably take his place if he came through it well. It's somewhat still up in the air, Ray. We just need to probably give that a bit of thought. And at this stage, Astern, all going well, will line up in the Cornwall Stakes on Derby Day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about today? Down there at Flemington, Ray mentioned it a little bit earlier. Hartnell, the $2 favourite for the Turnbull, all set to go there, John?
He's very good, Jimmy. We're very happy with him and, look forward to taking him to Melbourne. I was glad that we didn't run him yesterday. The ground was very firm and he had a bunch of weight. So hopefully it pays off and we've turned up today with the scenario that gives him an opportunity to be as successful in Melbourne as he has been in Sydney.
Is this the fork in the road, John, in terms of Caulfield Cup or Cox Plate for Hart?
Well, it's definitely, his defining moment of this spring for him anyway. We just need to get through today and hopefully it goes successfully and we'll give some consideration to what we do with him after that.
And listen, what happened, John? You were on the books there for a while. I think we called you every Sunday morning for a month, and then you didn't turn up for a couple of shifts. So
gave the poor guy a break.
The contract negotiations
had fallen
by the wayside. Doubling of the fee sort of was a stumbling block, I'm led to believe, for administration.
We've trebled it now.
We rubber stamped it here, but obviously it just went higher than us, John. That's the only thing we can put it down to. What about today, mate? Yeah. I know you're not going to rush back like you did last year, obviously, with your Cowboys not in, but can you give us a tip for the footy today?
Well, mate, we're coming back because I've got a son who's been a Melbourne supporter since he was about four, so the whole family will be there. Now, mate, for me, last week, James Maloney ran past Cullen Hester, scored two tries and set up another one, and that wasn't young Cullen's fault. He was it's his sixth NRL game after playing 90 minutes a week before.
Yeah.
But this week, he's going to be running into Tahu Harris and Kevin Proctor, whereas I don't think he'll be affording him the same liberty, so I'd suggest that's going to be the turning point of the game.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. Right. Yeah. Melbourne Storm, you've got to look after the young fella too. Tip the Melbourne Storm as well. John, your stable's absolutely flying. It's just been incredible. So I think seven winners all up yesterday.
We had three. Oh, John, three just quickly, a horse that won at Newcastle. I know it was only a Newcastle class
You're
one.
You're excited about this horse,
Yeah, a horse called Bazelle. I think I pronounced it right. John Lonra, a street cry out of a Lonra mare called Beated. Gee, I think he's a promising horse.
We do too, Ray. So, just had to sort of let him go through his grade a little. And probably come to Ramick in 2 weeks, and then we'll see what happens after that. But we do think very highly of him.
Nice.
Hopefully, he's another one that we can take down to Melbourne.
Yeah, well, I hope you go well in Melbourne today, and hope the young fella has a result tonight as well.
Good luck, boys, eh?
Yeah,
best of luck, John.
You too. John O'Shea there, great to have him on the program. He's always very good with his time with this program. Careful rain, Jeremy. Don't put Jimmy into one of his moods. Heard his change in voice. That came in from Judy.
Judy's
what change in voice, Judy?
You nailed it, Judy.
That's an inside job. I don't think that is. If I check that number that's come through, that would be Jeremy, I reckon.
Judy often rings up, and I think there's a CD coming Judy's way, actually. Dream Lover, the Bobby Darin musical, I reckon, Jim.
Absolutely.
Yep, that's coming your way, Jim.
Go on, give it to Judy. Well done to the Western Bulldogs. Is it an omen for the fish fingers? Or will it be a Victorian double? That's Sophie at Strathfield. So there
Good
you
morning,
go.
Sophie.
Sophie's chipping in with some
She's a Swannies supporter, she would have had a indifferent day there being a Swannies supporter.
Here's your talk topic going gangbusters. All class. Cooper Cronk. consoling Edric Lee after his disappointing game last Saturday. Cooper is one of the reasons I hope Storm will win. Mm. Perhaps a few of their opposition players could take a leaf out of Cooper's book. Brett from Broadbeach, when was the last time you heard a Melbourne Storm player in trouble off the field?
Good point, yeah. And you know what? Brett's point there is very, very good, because a lot of people admire particularly Cooper, Cronk and Cameron Smith for what they've done for the game and their services for the game. So if they happen to win another premiership, good luck to the Melbourne Storm.
I tell you, he's pretty unpopular out there, Cameron Smith.
But he is a great player.
I'm not saying he's not a great player.
And people admire him for his competitiveness, just like they begrudgingly admire Mick Ennis as well. You know, you love to have him in your football team because he's a competitor and he gives you 110%.
1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
There's always been tons to like about the big Photon Tonland utes. And here's another thing. Tonlands drive away tons of time to pay finance offer. Drive away in a Tonland ute today and there's no repayments for 3 months. Yes, 3 months. There's no deposit either and only 3.99% interest per annum. A new Tonland ute with a powerful Cummins diesel engine that you can drive away today with tons of time to pay.
Available to approved business applicants only. Offer ends 31st 12 16. Terms and conditions at photonmotors.com.au.
Chapter and Verse, the companion album to Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, Born to Run, includes 18 songs featuring 5 unreleased tracks. Songs that capture Springsteen's musical journey as told in his autobiography. Chapter and Verse. Available now.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy an air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, LG and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card, up to $200, depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
An all-Australian-owned and family-operated business, Garlo's Pies are the best premium quality pies. The difference with a Garlo's Pie, Ray, is it's deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom which is rolled extra thin, and filling full of only 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies are bursting with... wouldn't you love one? Wouldn't you love it if they were handled over till Friday? No, they're all eaten on Friday. What about the Sunday team? Nah, forget the Sunday team. Don't we hear that a lot? About the pies. Garlo's.
One team, the Sunday team.
One team. Oh, yeah, one team.
Rock solid.
It's the biggest division in this team that I've ever seen. Garlo's are in all Coles and IGA stores and, of course, McDonald's down in the Canberra region, Sutton Forest. And if you can't find them, ask for Garlo's by name.
You did ask me last week.
It's the same with your local golf club, your RSL or your bowling club, or the canteen at the kids' footy or netball. Just go and ask very nicely, as Ray Thomas would ask. Where's the Garlo's? Go on, say it.
Where's the Garlo's pies?
Garlo's pies. They're thin on pastry. They are big on meat.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Hungry after that day. Oh. Jim, grand final day, a couple of Garlo's pies, that'd go down
Wouldn't
great.
It be nice?
I tell you what, I hope this man is celebrating because it was an extremely popular win. And Jimmy, I think you take as much solace when you walk after winning a Group 1 and almost every jockey in the jockey's room walked past to shake Blake Spriggs' hand. I think that says a lot about Blake, and he's been good enough to join us. Blake, good morning, and firstly, mate, congratulations, and it's been a long time coming, and that's a long, long straight, Randwick, but Sir John Hawkwood got you home in the Metrop.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Definitely something I'll never forget. And you're right, it was a long straight, and there were moments where I thought I may have gone a little bit too early. But thankfully, the horse with 54 kilos on his back, he's a very competitive horse. He was never going to give in without a fight.
And the other thing about it is, you know the horse so well too, Blake. And I think you tweeted during the course of the week that you never felt the old fella feel so good. So you knew you had an informed horse under you as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think I've ridden him 11 times now, and that's without riding him track work, which I do every second day. And and excuse me, also trials. So I know the horse extremely well, and to me, his gallop on Tuesday in between races at Kembla was just absolutely super, and he'd never been going better. And I remember galloping him, you know, not long before the Sydney Cup, before he hurt himself, and we thought he was actually flying, and that he'd win the Sydney Cup with 51 kilos on his back. And once he got injured, we were pretty shattered. And for mine, he was going better than what he was back then. And mm-hmm. I said to John Thompson on Thursday morning after his last piece of work, I said, I don't want to be too arrogant going into a Group One, but the horse is just flying, and I think he'll win. So for him to come out and justify that was an amazing feeling.
You know, it was outstanding. That gallop on Tuesday, we shouldn't overlook that, because John Thompson made that decision to give that horse the exhibition gallop between races at Kembla. And he was telling the press yesterday, Blake, it was a lesson he learned off the late, great Bart Cummings, who did it a couple of times when John Thompson was stable manager for Bart. Okay. How important was that gallop on the Tuesday just to fine-tune Sir John Hawkwood for the Metrop?
Oh, look, we spoke about it Saturday, the Saturday before, and John asked for my opinion on how I think the horse would react, and I said if it's something that Bart Cummings did and he had faith in it, then go for it. And for mine, from the Tuesday to the Thursday, it was unbelievable how much the horse just tucked up and improved fitness wise, and we couldn't believe that, you know, Wednesday morning he was jumping around and squealing coming off the track after running a solid 33 his last 600 in the gallop. It hadn't worried him at all, and he went to the beach. And I've got to say, you know, it was a masterpiece of training, because, you know, it takes a lot of guts for someone to be training, you know, training their first lot of horses for a big owner, and you know, not having had a winner for them before. It takes a lot of guts to do something out of the ordinary. You know, that's a little bit risky, and thankfully it's paid off.
Ray mentioned how what a popular winner you were amongst your peers, Blake, and that's great to hear. And you know, your success in many ways came too quickly or too early. The five winners then, and the Group One success as an 18-year-old, but you've had to work very hard for this. Does it make it more satisfying, given the work that you've had to do to get this success?
Oh, definitely. To be honest with you, once I left the Waterhouse stable and ventured back to the country, I didn't think a moment like this could happen. I thought I'd be riding at the provincials every weekend, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But to reach this sort of level again is just something I didn't think could happen. Once Waratah sort of came along and gave me that backing, I thought that we could get back to riding in the city. But you know, to get a Group One for them is just, you know, incredible. It's still sinking in.
Yeah. And it's only going to get bigger from here, Blake, because John Thompson has Sir John Hawkwood in both the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup. Do you know what the immediate race plans are for the stayer now?
Look, we're going to all have dinner during the week, you know, John, myself, and the owners' connections, and just decide what we think the horse is best to do. He comes first before anything else, and he's back at the farm now, and we'll just make sure that he's pulled up well, and he's obviously ready to go, and still wants to do it, being an 8-year-old. But I'd imagine he's keen as mustard to get back out on the track, and obviously the Melbourne Cup is something that everyone wants to go for, and if the opportunity's there, we'll have to take it. It's just what course we take to get him there. Because, like we say, he is an 8-year-old, and he does come first. So we've got to work out what's going to suit him the most. He does run his best races when his runs are spaced, and he's fresh. So 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks is something that we don't usually do with him, but we'll have to assess it during the week and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, Very exciting.
Yeah, terrific, Blake. Look, congratulations again yesterday. It was great to see you break through at Group 1 level. The first of many, we hope, and really appreciate you getting up bright and early on Sunday morning on grand final day. And again, Blake, congratulations.
No worries. Thanks very much, guys.
There he is, Blake Spriggs, a winner yesterday on Sir John Hawkwood. It's a really good story. All round, John Thompson, 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And arguably running better than ever. So congratulations to all involved.
8-year-old. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't like it when I get that, those things.
I had to check then. I thought, have I got this wrong?
Well, I thought I read it in an article today, 9 year old.
Would I have written that?
I generally read the Fairfax.
If I've written that, I do. You read, do you really? Okay.
I wondered whether that would slip through.
Where's producer Jeremy?
Oh, look at you.
Rock solid here, one team.
Yeah, rock solid. Here we go, now, this is a good one that's coming on your talk topic, Ray.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Ray, 1989 at Arana Park. Cameron Blair sandwiched Tony Casado in a good hit. Realising Casado had gone pale and lost consciousness, he then turned him on his side, and then the trainer removed his mouthguard in which he'd swallowed his tongue. Blair, quick thinking, was critical that there was no permanent damage. Great class and sportsmanship. Cheers, John from Moorbank. I remember that very clearly.
I remember Steve Knight. Playing for, I think he was playing for Manly against Balmain.
Right.
Did exactly the same thing to a player who was heavily concussed and knocked out and swallowed his tongue.
Swallowed his tongue.
Steve Knight walked away from the game and did exactly the same thing back in the, that would have been late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, Stevie Knight. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I remember that very clearly. Mm. Tony Casado, I played with Tony at the Roosters. He's the world's nicest bloke.
Is he?
He's a lovely fella. Yeah, really good fella. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's get to callers now. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, how you going, Jimmy? How you going, Ray?
Yeah, good very morning,
well,
Adrian. Mate.
Very well. What do you got?
Jimmy, you mind that grand final for the world's finest guy or greatest guy?
Oh, apparently you've been relegated. Just kidding, Adrian.
Just missed the last cut, probably. That's right.
Yeah.
Just a few things about, hey, you know, a bit of synergy about the Bulldogs that won their AFL yesterday in 2004. We had the captain not playing and, you know, sharing the award finish.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Jonathan Thurston. Someone has already brought that up. I think it was Steve brought that up earlier. Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, when they mentioned about Luke Beveridge, a great coaching performance this year, and most definitely. How about the worst coaching performance this year, Des Hasler?
Yeah, right. And you want to expand on that?
And you look at Michael Ennis, the case in point, and Michael Leash, if you want to.
Yes.
I mean, Michael Ennis just, you know, in the last 2 years, I think he's put together statistics that been better than Cameron Smith and Josh Hodgson, which is a fantastic, you know, thing because how wonderful those two players have been. And it just goes to show, man, he must be thinking, oh, how good is it I got away from Canterbury to produce the form he has. And the thing that gets me is, why would Des Hasler look at Michael? And look, I've been right in most cases. I put my hand up because Des Hasler totally wrong, absolute myth. Because why would you look at Michael Ennis and say, Michael, I want you to put away all your skill. I want you to be a zero threat for dummy half. Why would you do that to a player?
No, it seems strange. You're right. I think the most interesting point of that call was where Adrian said, I've been right on most things. but we did get the admission there that he was wrong on Des Hasler. He was talking about how Des Hasler was going to be regarded as a better coach than Wayne Bennett over the course of the year. But Michael Ennis, I love the story about when Michael Ennis went to Shane Flanagan and said, you know, I think I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire next year. And he said, can you go home and you have a think about it and then come back and, you know, just make sure you're making the right decision? Well, he came back the next day and he walked into Flanagan's office and Flanagan said, tell me I had a nightmare. Tell me so it was a nightmare.
You want him to play on?
Yeah. He said, nah, it's not a nightmare. It's true. I'm going to retire. He's been excellent for the Sharks.
You know the time, don't you? Yeah, a sportsman knows
that's
the
right.
time.
He knew that he would be going around for the wrong reasons next year.
You could have gone one more year, couldn't you? You've told me a few times.
Yeah, and I was, you know what? I was thinking about, oh, the Ashes are being played in England next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2001? My motivation.
2001.
Yeah. It's like you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So it wasn't because you wanted to play, but you wanted to stay over there to watch the cricket.
Yeah, which is going to make it hard for the rest of the time. 1353-53. Sharks to win by 7. Valentine Holmes, first try scorer. Michael Ennis to get the Clive Churchill medal. So we're there. Eagle-eyed Phil, who's a Manly supporter, he's jumped on the Sharks bandwagon. So there you go. We're going to take a break now on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. Should we solicit for callers for the quiz? Why not? Because we've got to do our soccer segment. Andy Pascaletti's over in India.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be an abbreviated football segment today. Somewhere we'll probably
that's how you like it, isn't it?
Run through the EPL winners and that type of
thing. You're still working on the race day.
that I would describe as a work in progress, Raven, your race replays. 1353-53 is the open line number. And call it if you want to be part of the Z&Z quiz. Remember, you're a chance to win the watch in the colours of your team.
Bingley's new kitchen and laundry catalogue is out now. Buy any built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washing machine or dryer in it and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth 10% of your purchase.
That's a great domestic deal.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Domestic deal?
Yes.
Mum, all this month, get a bonus 10% Bingley gift card with any built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washer or dryer from our latest kitchen and laundry catalogue.
And there's a great domestic deal more in store.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline. Building a house? Then you'll want the best quality Australian-made lintels and T-bars at the best possible price. Builders Steel Direct have teamed with tried and tested local lintel manufacturer Galintel to offer you their full range of Australian-made products. Galintels, T-bars, render bars, cavity bars are just some of the products available. Order online anytime at builderssteeldirect.com.au. Builders Steel Direct, strengthening the building industry with BlueScope Steel.
Deadlines are a great motivator. Need some motivation to finally do something about that beer belly? The Next Man Challenge kicks off on October the 10th. Hi, I'm Adam McDougall and I created the Man Challenge, a 10-week exercise and food program that takes just 10 minutes a day. The time to do something about your beer belly has arrived. No more procrastinating. Do it for your family. Do it for you. Do it now. Register at themanchallenge.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any weight loss plan.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man, Jimmy Smith. What man, you may ask me?
The man from Mazda, Raymond.
Yep. Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including Jimmy Smith's favourite car, the BT50. Mm-hmm. The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. Come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith with over 40 BT50s on display. At Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Just before you do our ZNZ Watch quiz, if you want to be part of the quiz, give us a call now. 1353 is that number. You can be playing for Ray or myself. Doesn't matter. Ray, you're on how many points?
Is it 20?
Yes, you're on 20. What? I'm on
19.
I don't know why I write it down in my book every week. You've got it at home, I reckon.
When you're in front, you don't forget. Yeah, when you fall behind, you forget.
We just better get through some football results.
Important scores here.
Overnight in the EPL, Liverpool 2-1 away to Swansea City. Mm. Got late too. Well, we're down 1-0.
I was watching a bit of that. Yeah, Swansea scored in the first 4 minutes. So I actually went to sleep before Liverpool fought back. Chelsea had their first win since August, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's a big effort too. They're now sixth on the table. Liverpool up to second on the table, but they have a game in hand. Man City, of course, unbeaten. They have so maximum points.
Yeah, throw scores quickly. Liverpool 2, Swansea City 1. Chelsea away 2-0 over Hull City. Sunderland and West Brom 1-1. Watford 2, Bournemouth 2. West Ham 1, Middlesbrough 1.
There you go. And now you wanted to make mention of the A-League, of course, kicks off first weekend after the footy finals.
Local derby next weekend.
At ANZ Stadium.
Between the Wanderers and Sydney FC. Over 60,000 tickets have already been sold.
Wow.
It's looking like it'll be a house full sign going up. It's extraordinary, isn't it, Jim?
And imagine, and I'm going out there today for ANZ Stadium. Imagine when they get a purpose-built rectangular stadium.
Wow.
That would be much better to watch football at.
Yeah, which is going to happen.
As in all rectangular codes. So, and that's going to happen. That's right. They're going to do it. So that's going to be very exciting. Good work, Ray. Yeah, that's the football segment.
Andy, if Andy's listening, he'll be ringing up, blowing
that's
up.
The football segment for today. Of course, grand final day in the National Rugby League.
Where is Andy?
He's in India.
That's right.
With the IPL.
Correct.
The Indian Premier League.
11-week gig, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Mm. Yeah. 1353 is the open line number. Phil Moss will be joining us next week.
That's correct, yeah.
To talk all things football. So we'll look forward to that as well. 1353-53 is the open line number. Now, we've got our callers on the line here who are going to be part of the ZNZ quiz. Now, we haven't decided who goes first or second.
Who opens the batting? Yeah.
Why don't you open the batting? You go. Away you
did
go.
Did you have opened the bowling, Jim? Or?
Always.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right arm.
Gentle. Very gentle.
Okay. It wasn't fast medium?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Ball moved?
Nothing.
In the air, off the pitch?
Gun barrel straight.
Bold nude balls?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll open the batting, Jim.
Go, Raymond.
Peter's on the line. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. How are you going?
Terrific, Peter. You know the rules, mate, so the very best of luck. Here's question number one. What is the highest amount of points scored by one team in an ARL Grand Final?
Yeah, the options?
Yep. Is it 40, 42 or 44?
42.
Well done, Peter. That was South versus Manly in 1951.
That's a guess.
Question number two, Pete. Who scored the first try in the Sharks' win over the Cowboys last week? Was it Sasaya Feke, Chad Townsend, or James Maloney?
Maloney.
Feke, yeah. Bad luck there. Question number three, Peter. Here we go. What was the final score in Cronulla's 1997 Super League Grand Final loss against Brisbane? Was it 24-10, 28-12, or 26-8?
I missed that bit, right? Can you just switch?
Okay, what was the final score in Cronulla's 1997 Super League Grand Final loss against Brisbane? Mm. Your three options, Peter, are 24-10, 28-12, or 26-8?
26-8.
Outstanding, Pete. Well done.
Where are you, Peter? The NBN must be there, is it?
Come on.
Fantastic.
No. They're the tough questions. Well done, Peter. You've got two. Stay on the line there, Pete. Over to you, James.
Oh, hang on a minute,
from the northern end.
Could you just go through those again?
No.
Looking to log on.
He was just thinking, that's all.
Of course he was. All right. Tommy, you with us?
How's it going, Jimmy?
Very well, mate. Yeah, we're up against it here, but...
Don't worry, we've got it covered.
Oh, I love the confidence,
Tom. Good luck,
Tom. I love the confidence. All right. How many points were scored in the lowest scoring grand final ever? Was it 2, 3, or 4?
Locking 4.
Yeah. Oh, see, I'd have gone 4-2, but apparently there was 3 in 1924. Mm. The Tigers 3-0 over South. So, gee up. Question 2, Tom. Who scored the first try in the Storm's win over the Raiders last week? Was it Jordan Rapana, Cooper Cronk, or Chase Blair?
Cooper Cronk.
We're going to have to leave it there, Tommy. All the confidence in the world didn't do you much good, did it?
Hey, Peter, you still on the line there, Pete? Hey, Peter, you there?
I'm still here.
Congratulations, Pete. You're our winner today. Who's your team, Peter?
I go for the Tigers. But...
Oh, terrific. Well,
hang on, what? You're about to say but.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've had a shocking few years.
That's okay.
And they just missed the 8th this year, Peter.
Well, always next year.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And well, the other thing you can style yourself with too, Peter, at least you have high-speed internet where you are as well.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm not computer literate, so I haven't got internet.
Well done, Peter. Hey, Peter, we'll get a ZNZ quiz watching the Tigers' colours out to you. Just one final thing, your tip for the day, Pete, who are you going for?
I think it'll be a close game, but I think Melbourne might be too classy.
Fair enough. Good on you, Peter. Congratulations, mate. Stay on the line. And Jimmy Smith, score check now.
Well, there's been
hasn't
a change.
Much, has it?
Yeah, no. Well, you're now on 21, and I'm stuck on 19. I was going to say, I was looking like it might have been a little dodgy one there again.
It is a rort, do you?
Yeah, I really do have a...
Well, they say it's only a rort if not in it.
Yeah, and clearly I'm not in it. It's you and producer Jeremy. Somehow work it
Peter
out.
Won fair and square there.
Yeah, well done, Pete.
Exceptional job.
Congratulations. NBN just around the corner at Strathfield by the sounds of things.
All covered, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy an air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, LG and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card, up to $200, depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
The creator of the Man Shake and footy legend Adam McDougall has a new training program.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Man Challenge, Raymond.
Yes.
A 10-week online training program for blokes. It's a 10-minute total body workout, scientifically proven to work, and no gym. So, mm-hmm. no excuses. You can do them at home. You know, you'd be doing the burpees and all that sort
that
of stuff.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Push-ups, I reckon, to get a start.
Push-ups a lot. Push-ups.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. How many do you do a night?
150 in the morning, 150 at night.
What? Okay.
Just one session, real quick. I do them really quickly. Get the heart
rate. Yeah, I'm worried about the full extent. I don't think you fully...
I can demonstrate to you how to break.
We'll see that.
It's not a full extent, but it's just really fast.
Yeah.
Does it make any difference?
Absolutely. Mm. These are live video workouts with Adam McDougall and Footy Stars that you can access any time of the day from any mobile device. Plus, easy to follow meal plans with real man food. So you can still enjoy a beer and a burger.
Absolutely.
Well, that's important on grand final day, isn't it?
It's important every day.
That's a good point. Just 10 minutes a day over 10 weeks. You change your life, right? This will change your life.
Problem for me is I don't need to lose any weight.
No, you don't. No. The Man Challenge kicks off October 10. So go now, sign up at themanchallenge.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, Michelle from Dubbo's chimed in with a very good part of our talk topic. All class from Cameron McAvoy at Rio when he was beaten by Kyle Chalmers. Elegant post-race interview. She's 100% right.
He was very
classy. And Michelle's off to Coles to buy her Garlow's pies.
Yeah, good work. Get them at Coles at Dubbo there. No problem at all. Now, this man, it's his time of the year, you know. Mm. 1973 grand final winner against the Sharkies.
Mm.
We're just wondering whether he thinks the Sharkies can break their duck in 2016.
It was 10-7, wasn't it, I think, that year?
Was it 10-7?
Fulton
scored
two tries.
Yeah.
Rick Burke scored for Cronulla.
And I believe Cliff Watson pretty much ironed out our man Peter Peters. Hello, Zorb.
Morning, boys. What a great day. What a great scene. Incredible.
Yeah. Just on that, do you get a grand final day would help you think back to that time? Mm. Must be a very special time in your, not only your career, but in your life, Zorb.
Oh, absolutely. My mates from that team, those that are left, and it's hard to imagine two all-time greats like Ken Irvine and John O'Neill are no longer with us. Yeah. But, I remember every minute of that game, and it was something, and it showed me then that, I've got to remember that the Sharks came in 1967. They could have won it in their sixth year.
Yeah.
It was only the brilliance of Bob Fulton, who was to become one of the original immortals, that won the game for Manly. And then in their 11th year, it was Manly again that stopped them when it was a draw in the first grand final, and then Manly won 16-0 in the replay. So here they are in their 50th year still trying. But, look, I think people are going too much on that hoodoo that they haven't won. There's only one local junior in their side, and that's the young fellow Chad Townsend.
Yeah.
The rest of them are all, professional footballers that have come from other clubs. So I don't think that hoodoo is going to weigh heavily on them today, but they'd love to do it for the Shire. I just think it's going to be a great game. Mm. Flanagan versus Bellamy in the coaching area. Gallen against Cameron Smith. Sydney versus Melbourne. Yeah. New South Wales versus Queensland because of Smith and Cronk. 83,000 cheering in blue, black and white today, cheering on the Sharks. But the Sharks have got to play football to win. They've got to score over 20, I think, and they've got to close Melbourne out a little bit. If it's close, it'll be Melbourne. But I'm going with the Sharkies. I think this is their time. They're ready.
Yeah, good morning, PG. You've set the scene beautifully. Jimmy Smith's just taking the ball up the middle of the ruck right now as you speak. But, hey, Pete, people talk about this game and say the Storm have the best defence, but the Sharks potentially have more points in them. Is that how you see it?
Oh, I just think a lot's going to depend on the referees. Matt Checken and Ben Cummings. I hope they don't fall in love with the footy fairy tale. We saw it in Melbourne yesterday in the AFL Grand Final. Sydney couldn't get a call as the Bulldogs fairy tale unfolded in just a magnificent game with a couple short of 100,000 watching. It was something special. But I just hope the referees today let them play football. I hope Melbourne want to play football. I hope it doesn't become a wrestle around the rucks like a 10 do with them. I just hope that they control the game. The conditions should be perfect to 7:15 for the game. It'll be a dry pitch. And I see it this way. The Sharks' pluses are definitely the experience of Maloney, Gallen, Ennis, Lewis, Hynington, the brilliance of Barber, Bird, Holmes, and the left-edge skill of Wade Graham. But their minuses, definitely that history of it.
Yeah.
And also Andrew Fifita. His lack of discipline at games, at times in games, is a killer. And really, he's got to, today, play for his teammates and not for himself, and keep his head cool and focused. And I think that probably Ennis will help in that area. For the Storm, as always, Smith, Cronk, their spine with Munster and Green with the two stars, great wingers in Vinivalu and Corovetti. Their bench, I think, is a bit of worry if injuries hit. But for the Sharks to win, they need a good start. They've got to go for it too. If they sit back and try and match Melbourne, they've got to match them in the middle of the field. But if they try and play them at Melbourne's game, then they'll get beaten. But go the Sharks and go Sydney. James Maloney for my Clive Churchill medal. Full-time score, 24-18 to the Sharks. And Maloney, the Clive Churchill medal winner, as I said.
Did you say 24-18?
24-18.
Yeah, Valentine Holmes or Vinivalu as the first try scorers.
Okay. I want to take you back to round 26. Mm. 26 points to 6. The Storm won against a Shark side that had, I think, a 7-3 in the line breaks. Do they take much out of that game, Zorb?
Well, they've got to take the pluses out of it, but that was just after they had that great run of 15, and I think we were all saying on this program that they had to have a defeat before the finals. Well, they had a couple, and I think it woke them up a bit. I think they're back to where they were. Any side that can win 15 in a row is a good football side, but they're coming up against a fully professional, no mistake combination, beautifully coached Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
We see them backing up year after year in grand finals since they won their first one at this very ground. And I just think that today is the Sharks' day, but they've got to make it their day. They can't just hope to run out there. And if they get stage struck, then it could be all over at halftime. If it's close at half time, I think the Sharks can come home. But if the Storm ever get a double point margin in the game, then they won't be beaten.
Mm. Great front runners. Hey, so Bellamy and Flanagan, both fantastic coaches. They know each other well. They know each other's game plans very well. Bellamy's got that grand final experience, but Flanagan's done some things in this final series which have been fantastic for the Sharks. Taking Chad Townsend off in that semi-final was the turning point. How do you see the clash, I guess, of the two coaches?
Well, I mean, the record of Bellamy is unsurpassed in the modern era. So,
yes.
You know, he's now the number one coach in the game, in my eyes. Mm. Flanagan, at the moment, is promising a lot. And if he can deliver the Sharks their first grand final, he'll be a hero in the Shire. They stuck with him. I think they had to stick with him through those troubled times, and he's come out the other side. Some people in the game think that the Sharks hierarchy were too lenient on him, but I think their decision has been justified with where they are now. I just think they've got the players in. I'm a huge rap for Luke Lewis as a person and a player. I've known Michael Ennis since he was 8 years of age, and he's deserved of this honour that could come his way today. But when you look at the other side, they just play football, and that's what they are. I mean, if you look at Chase Blair, he's a classic example of what Melbourne can do for you and their coach and their system. I watched him at Manly for the 2 years prior to him going to Melbourne, and he was he was okay, but he was nothing like the player that he is now.
Yeah.
And all of their players will rise to another level today under Flanagan. Craig Bellamy. Yeah. So they will do the job. Just whether the Sharks let them get far enough in front is the whole key to the game.
The other incredible thing about it is that they've done it with over $1 million of their salary cap sitting on the sideline from game one. Yeah. That's Billy Slater. Yeah. And I'll throw this hypothetical. Someone threw this hypothetical at me yesterday, and I thought it was very interesting. What would you say if you're Craig Bellamy, if Billy Slater came up to you at the start of the week or last week and said, I'm right for the grand final, I can give you 20 minutes, knowing that Ben Hampton didn't get on last week, what would you do?
I know what he'd do. He'd say, mate, you haven't played all year. Munster is my fullback. You sit up in the box with me and watch the game and let's hope the boys win. He's that sort of coach. He would not do that. Talking of great acts of coaches, I've got to say, yesterday, the coach of the Western Bulldogs, Luke Beveridge, for him to take his grand final medal off and give it to his captain, Bob Murphy, who's been out since round three, was one of the most selfless acts I've seen in sport and a moving moment in a great grand final.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Righto, you better give us some betting options for today, Zorb. Let's have a look at the market. It's changed again. $1.80 Melbourne, Cronulla $2.05. They've been $2.10, they've been $2. Now they're back out to $2.05, the Sharkies.
I've got the Sharks 1-12, winning 24-18.
Sharks 1-12, $2.90.
Yeah. Okay, well, that'll do. And first try scorer, I'm going to go for two. Holmes, the number five for the Sharks. And number two, Vunivalu. What a player. Yeah. And the work that they did to get that young fellow out of a private school in New Zealand where he's playing rugby is a compliment to how far the Sharks will go to get how far the Storm will go to get talent down a dusty road outside of Suva to go and woo his parents with one of their players that speaks Fijian, and it's an interesting story, and the pathway to this big game for these players today will all flash before their mind as they lace their boots up in the bowels of ANZ Stadium and when the bus drives in down there to go down that little incline to underneath the stadium, and you hop out of the bus to walk through the short walk to your dressing room is one of the great moments in sport, and it suddenly hits you that you're in a game that you've dreamt about since you were a child, and when you go on there, you do anything you want, you can to win, and everything you've done through your everything flashes before your mind. The time that your parents took you to junior footy, to your schoolboy days, to your first game in grade, to the mates that you've made, and the mates that you've played against. It's just an amazing occasion, and I wish all the players well, and may the best team win and go to Sharkies.
Hey, we're ready to play. Sharks 1-12, $2.90. Vunivalu, $8 as the first try scorer. Holmes, $10 as the first try scorer.
Hey, Pete, quickly, where are you watching the game today? Are you going out?
No, I'm with my beautiful granddaughters up on the Sunshine Coast, so we're going to have a barbecue, and they're going to watch all the games today, and I couldn't be in better company, and they often get dressed up in Manly gear up here when the Seagulls are in the grand final, so that's the least I can do to be with my beautiful granddaughters today and my wife and family.
Sounds like a horrible day, Zorb.
It'll be beautiful, mate. It's the best. 30 degrees yesterday.
Oh, good on you.
Greek is sweating, I'll tell you.
Hey, good on you, Pete. Enjoy it, mate. Have a great grand final day, and the best team wins, so to speak. And,
well said. Yeah. Well said. Good on you, Zorb.
It's been a great day, and look forward to it. It's been a great year, and I look forward to it being a... Look, if we can get anywhere near that wonderful grand final from last year, that'll do me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we can only hope. Good on you. Peter's there with all his thoughts on the grand final. 13-53-53.
We'll get to one next week, won't we?
Number.
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just get a wrap up of the season. And then we've got the Four Nations.
We'll keep
Australia play New Zealand in Perth the following weekend on the, I think it's a Friday or the Saturday night.
We'll keep the great man going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya. Morning, Tan.
Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Ballina. We did have Dubbo, but that has been postponed due to the state of the track. So just Ballina, where the weather is fine, the track a good 3, the rail is true, and there are 11 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, take out 2, Military Lady, number 2 from the second. Out of the third, number 1, Sunhawk, and 3, Kitty Ping, 1 and 3 from race 3. Race 4, number 1, Got a Goodie, 3, Legal Stature, 9, Du Porsche, 11, Al Felice, and 14, Santoro. 1, 3, 9, 11, and 14 from race 4. Race 5 is clear. Out of race 6, take 5, Chasing Liberty, number 5 from race 6. And out of race 7, number 3, Brubella, and 10, Warning Signal, 3 and 10 from race 7 at Ballina.
And a couple of tips today, Tan. Race 4, number 10, Fashion Saga, is the best at Ballina. Race 4, number 10, Fashion Saga. And in race 2, number 5, One More, Two More, will be really hard to beat. Race 2, number 5, One More, Two More. And at Flemington today, Jim, a couple down there. Really like Hart on the turn, but I think he'll prove the
Sydney weight
for age form. Yep. Horse in race 3, one of the Godolphin teams, at double figure odds, number 4, Kent. He'll run a race here, race 3, number 4, Kent. He's about 8.50 now, Jim. He's good odds.
Yeah, okay. There you go. So there's a couple of tips from... And you've been going well with your tips, haven't you?
Going okay. We're still working for a living, Jim.
Hey, Jimmy, Ray Thomas thought he was the world's nicest bloke. Regards, Eagle Eye Phil. Yeah, we mentioned was the world's nicest bloke and... You probably got a little upset with that.
Tony Casada, was it?
Yeah, Tony Casada. Yeah, world's nicest bloke.
Does Tony listen to the show?
No, I don't think so. Okay. Guys, Adrian needs to go see a shrink.
Delegated.
Well, there's a startling revelation that's coming from... try being a Dragon supporter. In the last few years, we have struggled to score points and have yet let go of Brent Morris, Trent Merrin, and now Mitch Rain. Wooden spoon next year. Cheers. No name on that one.
Be a long year for the good guys next year.
The good guys. Mm. And that's the thing with you, Ray. That's the beauty of having two sides.
Yeah,
things are looking up for the Panthers. So
Holden Cup today. They're a good team to watch.
They are a very good team. It'll be up against the Roosters Panthers too. So that'll be a chance for them to add. That'll be their third NYC title, which is a pretty good effort. And, of course, Burley up against the Illawarra Cutters in the state championship match. After the news,
we have
our legend of the game. It's Peter Sterling. And we're looking forward to having a chat with the great Sterlo.